You know, John and I have a house full of old stuff. If you ask our kids, we have a house full of junk. But what we really like about all of our old stuff, junk, depending on which one of our family members you talk to, we really like the fact that the stuff in our house has a story. Now, I don't know if you watch much TV or not, but you can't help, even if you don't watch a lot of TV, that there's a lot of reality shows on television. And I read somewhere that the reason there's so many reality shows on television is because they're very, very cheap to produce. Well, I mean, I don't know if that's true or not, but I mean, you know, that's what I did read somewhere. I don't know if I counted right, but I think there are 19 reality shows on TV right now. Now, John and I watch football and really very little else, but something kind of curious has happened, and I think that it's a brilliant station manager somewhere, but it's that on the History Channel, some really very different kind of reality shows have become very popular. I'm not sure whether that's where Swamp Men are or not, but, you know, John came home from Virginia one weekend, and I was watching a Swamp Man marathon, and he was ready to have me committed. But there are shows about pawn shops and salvage and antique pickers and restoration specialists and storage auctions. Half the time, you know, I just think I'm going to see Rob Gamble on this show one of these days. Don't tell Rob I said that. But the question begs to be asked, why are these such similar popular reality shows? For me, I think it's connected to the reason, the same reason that I have all of the stuff in my own house, and that is that our culture is absolutely addicted to a good story. We love knowing the history behind stuff. One of the shows that I like the best is Pawn Stars. Now, if you're a fan, you know that Rick or Corey or Chumley or the old man, and I'm thinking that his name is Richard, always asks when something comes in to the shop, where did you get this? Now, I think what it does initially is it establishes the fact that the article isn't stolen. They make a big deal about that, you know, of course. But it also gives everyone the opportunity to hear the story behind the thing. It could be some unimportant common piece of everyday life, but apparently if a thing has a great background story, if it can be documented as true, and especially if that thing includes somebody famous, the most common thing that has no value becomes extremely valuable. They call it provenance. The proven story that gives credibility to a thing. Confirmation of the value of something. The history behind something. So you really do learn a lot of stuff on this program. Now we're in our second week of Advent. And even though we're on our way, we're still kind of far away from Bethlehem. It's a journey that's long enough to require some food along the way. In this week's gospel text, Luke offers us some very specific food for our journey to Bethlehem. It isn't saccharine sweet. It isn't feel-good fluffy stuff. If you want that, you have to tune into something like the Hallmark Channel. They have that on all month, you know, this month. But Luke offers us something far more substantial. Luke really gives us something to chew on this Advent season. The food and water that Luke offers to those of us who are on this journey to Bethlehem is a clear picture of history. The first thing Luke does, it reminds us of what a cesspool first century Palestine was. We don't think about it that way. Tiberius was emperor. At the end of his reign, he went mad. He terrorized the country. He was responsible for exiling the Jews from Rome. And then there was the incompetent Pontius Pilate. We call him Pontius Pilate because we're Westerners. He was Pontius Pilate. That was Roman. He had managed to completely alienate the entire Jewish community. Let's not forget Herod Antipas, his borderline incestual relationship with his brother's wife, caused this incredibly popular John the Baptist to lose his head. Now, not only does Luke give us the lineup of the roadblocks and speed bumps that are on the way to Bethlehem, and all of the political reprobates who made it their business to come against God's plans for the salvation of the world, Luke also dares and it was a dare, to mention the religious resistance to God's plans for the salvation of the world. Represented by the dynasty of Annas and his sons, and also his high priest son-in-law, Caiaphas. You don't really know that Caiaphas was his son-in-law. A who's who list of malcontents who made it their business to stand against Jesus. All of these shady characters, all of the sordid details, remind us who are on this 2012 road to Bethlehem just how dangerous the journey is. Thankfully, Luke's details are there for a far more important reason than to give us a list of the bad guys. Luke's details are there for a very important reason, to remind us that the world was a mess during that time. You see, by surrounding his account of John the Baptist with traceable historical people, Luke is establishing provenance. He's establishing credibility to the story. He's confirming the story as true. Now, if you tune into any one of these shows about antique collectors or junk store treasure hunters or pawn shop operators or professional pickers, you will get to watch one person after the other who has maybe a cracked or broken or moldy or dog-eared or off-the-wall or bizarre collectible. And they're convinced that it's worth a fortune. The dealers, the pawn shop owners, the collectors, they separate the treasures from the junk. And a lot of times what makes the difference is provenance. If you watch Antiques Roadshow, you'll know that the word provenance can turn something that's worth $50 into being worth $50,000. Provenance, the traceable, provable, itemized, recorded history of any item that lends credence or a story that brings an antique to life. Now the item, what? It could be a lovely 19th century desk that's accompanied by a letter that was written upon that desk along with a photograph of somebody famous writing that letter on the desk. Okay, that makes a big difference. Or it could be a 1960s glass bowling ball that has a rose buried in the middle of it with a photograph of that ball being given to someone at an awards banquet someplace in Milwaukee or somewhere. I don't know. Provenance changes everything. Provenance tells the story behind the story. It establishes credibility and the confirmation of the story. Provenance is proof of what people said and heard and experienced about the story. Provenance authenticates it. It establishes facts. That's why Luke listed so many people. Do you know that in Hebrew law, you couldn't prove truth if one person said it? Two people, okay, three were better. That's how you prove something to be true. Now, I don't know if you're familiar with the tradition, but every Roman Catholic church is named after a saint. At the dedication of every Roman Catholic church, there's a commissioning of a reliquary. It's a container. They usually embed it in the altar, and it has the relics of the saint of what that church is named after. Now, those relics might be bones, might be other body parts, might be part of a fabric from the clothes of the saint, or some other fragment associated with the saint. But each reliquary contains not just the relics, but the authentics, and it has to come with the authentics, and that is handwritten documentation that proves the authenticity of the relic and establishes the relic's provenance. Very ancient handwritten papers. One time on Pawn Stars, a man brought in such a relic to sell. Rick, if you know Rick, okay, he had to get a language scholar to read. The documentation was written in Latin. The documentation person came and read and said, and this is what the document said, with no ifs, ands, or buts, this is my translation, the relic could not be sold, nor could anyone benefit from it changing hands, on penalty of damnation of their soul. Well, needless to say, Rick didn't buy it. And unfortunately, what he said was that he was pretty confident of his damnation anyway, but he didn't want to seal the deal. It made me feel really sorry for him. I wanted to just tell him about Jesus, but yeah, whatever. In today's gospel text, Luke provides another piece of provenance for the story of Jesus' birth. He gives us details about what's going on in history, who was who. He even names names about who were in power, those who were in charge, nationally, regionally, locally, religiously. Luke authenticates the details and places those details into verifiable historical times and places. He confirms the story and gives it credibility, where John the Baptist came preaching, and also where Jesus came to challenge and change the status quo. It is not a pretty picture, but thanks to Luke, it's documented, it's precise, and because of it being in there, if we were skeptical, we know that it's true. Luke gave Jesus' story careful provenance. Luke took special care to detail the recorded facts that give the mission and ministry of Jesus official provenance in the first century. Okay, we get it. The account is true. We can look it up. We can even look it up outside of the Bible if we want to, and we can find those people. But what does that have to do with us? Did you think it was taking me forever to get here? What makes Luke's attention to detail a message to us? What can we learn from this? Well, here's what we can learn on this 2012 road to Bethlehem. In 2012, the road to Bethlehem needs provenance. I was reading in this month's Christianity Today. Excellent. This is what it said. An October poll from the Pew Forum on Religious and Public Life drew attention to the rise of the religiously unaffiliated. Now, one out of five adults and one out of three adults under 30. Because the survey also found a precipitous fall in Protestant affiliation, the first time it has ever dropped below 50%. Scary stuff. In 2012, Jesus' story is in desperate need of confirmation. The living of our everyday lives on this journey requires that we now become the provenance of the story. The living of our everyday lives on this journey requires that we establish the credibility of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. Giving Jesus life, death, and resurrection provenance in the 21st century. Do you know this has now become our purpose? You are, I am, we are the provenance of the Jesus story. Our lives must confirm this story. Our lives must establish this credibility because there are fewer and fewer of us around. We write the gospel with our own lives. The challenge for each of us as we make our journey down the road to Bethlehem is to allow the Holy Spirit to make our lives the ongoing provenance for the Jesus story. Ask yourself, how is Jesus present in your life today, the everyday living of your life? What kind of provenance are you giving to the Jesus story? How does Jesus bring peace and joy and love into this world this year through you? How are we pictures of Christ working out God's redeeming love today? You know, last night at sundown, Hanukkah began. And Hanukkah is also called the Festival of Lights. Now, Hanukkah means it's tremendously religious to the Jewish people, and it has very deep meaning. But what a Jew will tell you if you ask is Hanukkah is about light. It's about bringing light. It commemorates the rededication of the second temple in Jerusalem at the time of the Maccabean revolt. But that was the second century, you know, B.C. But today, Hanukkah is about bringing the light. You know, I read a book with mom stories in it. And it tells the story of a three-year-old boy, and he was calling. The mother's writing the story. She said she heard her three-year-old calling from a dark room at night, and he was yelling, "Mommy, Mommy, talk to me." And he said, I'm frightened because it's so dark. And his mom answered from the other room. She said, what good would it do for me to just talk to you? You can't see me. And he said, it doesn't matter. When you talk, it gets light. When we talk, does it get light? Do we bring light into a dark and dying world? Is your life, as you look at it clearly this second Sunday in Advent, is it provenance for the Jesus story? Let's bow our heads and pray. Father God, you know we have our shortcomings. But we pray, Lord, that you would fulfill your will in our lives and that truly we would bring light to darkness. And that we would in all things reflect the light of Christ. For we pray it in his name and for his sake.